First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Right in the beginning of this, I call your attention to that portion in the scripture, a royal priesthood. I dealt with a couple passages on Sunday morning out of the book of Revelation where the Lord confirms to us that we are kings and priests. And I started to deal some with the fact of what the daily duties of the priest were in the temple. Since we're priests, we ought to know what the activities of priests are if we're to fulfill what God wants us to be in his word. And on Sunday morning, I dealt some with the miracles, the everyday miracles, the weekly miracles that occur at the temple. And then from that, I left you with the first activity, that of opening the gates. That was the priest's job. They would open the gates from the inside, and how that we have the responsibility as the royal priesthood to open the gates as well. And we have to guard what gets out and what comes in. And then I started with the second point. They had the duty as well to put the incense on the golden altar. And incense is a picture of prayer. I left you with the fact of how they would bring that into the temple on the chalice with a little tray that was under it, because prayers are not to fall to the earth, they're to ascend up to God, and they're not to be trampled on, and prayers are never wasted. You'll never pray a prayer, never pray a prayer that goes nowhere. Now, every prayer may not be answered immediately, but when our prayers reach heaven and the Lord hears our prayers, we're taught in the scripture that even when time goes on, the prayers of the saints continue to be answered. Do you know some of you right now, really, God's answering prayers in your life, not that even you prayed, but that your parents prayed for you. That doesn't stop when they pass. That doesn't stop when they go on. Those prayers are stored up in heaven, in the throne room. And God, at the perfect time, answers those prayers because it's for his glory and not our timing. In that as well, I left you with the fact that that had a little ring on it. And when they came in, they would take their pinky finger and they would hit that ring against that chalice that brought those live coals and brought that incense into the house of God. And they made noise when they entered into the house of God. And when we left here Sunday morning, we realized we'd come to church to make some noise. And even though it's Wednesday night, I think we should still come into God's house to make some noise, to let the devil know that we are alive and doing well. Yes, we face things through the week, but God is still good regardless of what we face, and his power never fails, and his riches of grace to us. Daily he loads us down with his benefits, and we come into his house to rejoice and praise him for what he does. But also that incense. If you'll study Jewish history and Jewish tradition, you'll find out that as it evolved from scripture through time, there were 11 different ingredients that Jewish sages recorded that it took to make up this incense. They didn't just create it the way they wanted to, and everyone had a certain flavor that they liked or a certain smell that they liked. They had to do it by the dictates of God to them, and they would pass that down from generation to generation. Now, what's the significance of that? If this incense is like prayer, I think you'll find it interesting. I did a study, and if I read correctly and have studied correctly, do you know there are 11 types of prayer in the Bible? 11 types of prayer, 11 different ingredients, and there's 11 different ingredients in the prayers that we offer up to God as well as a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. There's the prayer of confession of sin in 1 John 1:9. There's the prayer of confession of faults to each other, James 5:16. There's the prayer of agreement in Matthew 18:19. There's the prayer of faith for the sick in James 5:15. Doesn't do any good to pray for the sick if you don't have faith God will heal them when you pray. But there's also the prayer of binding, and there's the prayer of loosing in Matthew 16:19. There's the prayer in the spirit, Ephesians 6:18. There's the prayer with understanding in 1 Corinthians 14:15. There are prayers of thanksgiving in Philippians 4:6. There are prayers of intercession according to 1 Timothy 2:1. And there are prayers of supplication in Philippians 4:6. 11 different types of prayer is mentioned in the New Testament. I just guess that's a coincidence that there was 11 different ingredients in the incense that is a picture or symbol of prayer. No, thank God we pray in different ways at different times. We're not always praying for the sick. We're not always praying to intercede for someone else. We're not always praying to bind the works of Satan. We're not always praying for the loosing of heaven within our midst. We're praying sometimes as well for confession. We're praying at confessing our faults one to another. We're making intercession for others to carry one another's burdens and load. There's different types of prayer, and I think one prayer that's missing greatly, and now's a good time to mention it, is that prayer of thanksgiving. We're just a little over a week away from Thanksgiving, and they're trying to wipe Thanksgiving off of our calendar and just go straight to Christmas, because they really don't want us to see that if we're going to have a good Christmas, we ought to start with Thanksgiving. And you ought to set aside a time on your Thanksgiving day where you take a moment of time to think about how good God has been. God's not only good to us, we need to thank Him for His goodness and let Him know what we are thankful for. And when we pray and tell the Lord in Thanksgiving, I think God is pleased with our prayers of thanksgiving. So also, they had another activity. That's two. Five to go. They had the obligation to remove the ashes from the fires and the altars every day. They had to watch the ashes as they built up. Now, if you'll study the Bible, you'll find out that there were three different fires present on the Temple Mount. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think it's a picture for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But these three fires were necessary for temple life to continue on a daily basis. First, they had what was called the greater fire. The greater fire was the fire that burnt under the brazen altar. That's the place where sacrifices were offered. Then they had the fire for the golden altar, which is the place where the incense was offered up. But then there was a third fire that was known as the lesser fire or the smaller fire, and it was known in the Bible as what's called the perpetual fire. That fire, the Jews teach, was actually started by God. You read about it in Chronicles when King Solomon had the prayer of dedication. The Bible said that the fire came down from God out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice, and it started a fire. And God said that fire is to never go out. You're to keep that fire burning continually. Well, if the fire was to burn continually, that meant somebody had to have the task of removing the ashes. Now, those ashes are significant because when they take the ashes away from the greater fire, the place of the sacrifice, so here we have this innocent animal that has now been sacrificed and the blood has been offered for sin. And that is now consumed by fire. And those ashes represent the sin that has been paid for by the sacrifice of the one that has offered its life. And he's saying you need to regard those ashes in a holy way. They didn't just do what they wanted to with the ashes. There was a ritual that they used. They would remove those ashes and they would always take them to the same place. They took them to the Kidron Valley. And when they went to the Kidron Valley, there is a stream that flows into the Kidron Valley. That stream leads downstream into what later becomes known as eventually winding up into the Dead Sea. So what it is a picture of is that the sin that was consumed by the sacrifice eventually winds up in the Dead Sea. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that not only washes our sin, but carries our sin away. And when you talk to the Lord about your past sin, all he's going to do is say, what sin are you talking about? Those of wound up into the Dead Sea, never to be remembered again. God has forgotten them forever because of his rich grace and glory, and they wind up into the Dead Sea. But also, that is a warning to us. Tend to the fire. Don't ever let the fire go out. When the fire goes out, something is missing in the house of God. God said, I'll light it. You take care of it. Had they not taken care of it, God didn't guarantee that that fire would keep burning. The way the fire kept burning, they had to take care of it. And if we want the fire to keep burning in our heart, we've got to take care of things when it comes to God's business. That's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we talk to him and live for him and have this personal relationship, then that keeps the fire going. Do you know why some people are up and down, in and out, here and there, can't get settled? Do you know why that they can't seem to stick with it very long? I tell you why. They're not here on Wednesday night. They just look for special events. I just dread going into churches that the only thing that matters to them are special days. You know, they have a big special rally. They have a big special revival. They have a big special service. The truth of the matter is, the same fire that is burning on special days ought to be burning on Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Monday when you go to work and Tuesday when you go to school and when you're out in the world, that same fire ought to burn down in our heart. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, glory to God, I got baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and that fire has never gone out. Take care of the fire. You need the fire. I know the world's wicked. I know the world's rough, but thank God we've got a fire. The fourth duty that they had to put fresh oil in the candlestick, the menorahs. That was the only light inside the temple. And it took oil for those lights to burn. But they couldn't just use any oil. They had to use the oil that God had provided for them. Where did they get that oil from? Well, for any of you that's ever traveled to the Holy Land, you know one of the highlights is they take you to the Garden of Gethsemane. There's trees that are there in the Garden of Gethsemane that they say those trees were there when Jesus walked on this earth. And they take the olives and they put them through an olive press. It's a large millstone. The olives are placed in a trough, and that millstone, they put a stick through the center of it, a pole through it, and they go around that press. And as it goes around, there's a little channel that's cut as a trough. And when it goes around, it squeezes the oil out of those olives, and that oil runs down into that trough, and they catch that oil. They are only allowed to go around four times. It's called four pressings. There's four pressings of the oil. When they go to press the oil, each one had a specific purpose. They had to stop at the same place each time they went around. The first time around, the first pressing, the oil could only be used for holy things, in particular, making the holy anointing oil and the oil that was used in the menorah the golden candlesticks in the house of God. So the first oil belonged to the Lord. Get this right. God's always first. Always. You'll never find it any other way. Someone asked me not long ago. They said, why do you worship on Sunday? Because it's the first day of the week. It was on the first day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead. It was on the first day of the week when the disciples gathered to break bread. You'll find that they're gathering and coming together after the resurrection occurred on the first day of the week. The Bible says even we talk about offering our tithes to the Lord. But do you know when they were to give their tithes? They were to give their tithes in the beginning, the first day of the week. They would offer their tithe to the Lord. In other words, God gets what's first. God doesn't get what's left over. Now, the reason we're in a mess in this country right now, in our churches, is because we're giving God the leftovers. The leftovers of our time, the leftovers of our talent, the leftovers of our money. Everything, God gets what's left. But if we really want to experience the brightness of the light of God inside of us, then we've got to give God his part first all the time. Always. The second pressing was used for home use, for different items around the house that required oil. The third pressing was used specifically for cooking. They had one more pressing. Out of the fourth pressing, they used that oil for medicine. It was used specifically for medicine. Now, isn't that something? The Lord came first and medicine came last. Just ponder that in your mind for a moment. I think we've got something turned upside down. Now it seems like medicine comes first and the Lord comes last. But when are we going to learn? I'm not anti-medicine. I take medication. You take medication. But I know this much. I figure this much out. You can take all the medicine you want to take, but if the Lord's not in it, it's not going to do you any good. So you better make sure you go to the Lord first. And really, if you go to the Lord first, you'll be able to pray for those that help you medically so they'll make the right decisions and they'll use the right wisdom to be a blessing and a help to you. But when we come to that place that we understand, if we put God first, God will always be there when we need him, no matter what we're facing in life. I had the privilege just before church. I felt so impressed of God. I was getting ready to leave the house and I felt so impressed of God to pick the phone up and call two dear friends of mine down in Tampa at the Tampa church there down at Sefner. And I called them. He had surgery. They consider themselves, when they write me a note, they always say, from your keepers in Tampa. And they picked up on the message that I preached on the keepers. And they have declared themselves to be our keepers here in this church, even though they're living in Tampa. 7 months ago, Bill started a battle with pancreatic cancer. 7 months. He went through all types of treatment, but not one time would he ever talk about treatments. Miriam never talked about treatments. When I talked to her, she usually was shouting before we got very far into it. And I thought Bill was having his surgery. I called him and I was so surprised when she said, "He's home, preacher." I said, "Home?" She said, "You want to talk to him?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "Hey, Bill, it's Cal. How are you doing?" This is the same man down at Tampa Church for years that before service, they called the preacher that's preaching that night back into the prayer room. And Bill is the one that oversees that, the elder that oversees that and lays hands on the preachers to pray that God would anoint them as they come to preach the gospel. And I talked to Bill and he said, "Well," he said, I thought you were going to be in therapy and all of these other things. He said, "Yes." He said, "They did that surgery. And if you know much about that type of surgery, the Whipple procedure, it's a drawn out surgery. Just let me put it that way. It's a major surgery." And they did that surgery for hours and said, "I was there in the room," and said, "The doctor came in and said, I was shaving." And the doctor said, "Oh, you can shave." He said, "Well, yeah, I can shave." They said, "Well, how are you getting along?" Said, "Good." She said, "Can you get up out of the chair?" He said, "Well, yeah." He said, "I'm standing here." He said, "I got up out of the chair myself." She said, "Can you walk to the door and back?" He just walked to the door and back. And she said, "Forget all of the therapy." She said, our goal is after 4 or 5 or 6 weeks just to get you so you can walk to the door and back. She said, I'm sending you home. Now, you can say what you want to. I've watched others go through that, and I am convinced the thing that made the difference wasn't just the medicine. It was the prayer before the medicine. Saints of God are praying, and when we pray, great things happen. But let's remember, don't go to God last. Go to God first in prayer. So that fourth is for the medicine. That blowing up on me, buddy. I hate the devil. Here, let's do this. Kill that. Maybe it's just me, but that's annoying to me. Oh, it's not annoying to you. I'll have him turn it back on. There's something special about that anointing oil. You see, with the anointing oil that's made from this too, and with the oil that goes into the golden candlestick, and that same oil is a compound that's used to hold the incense together. It all hinges on the oil. All their worship hinged on the oil. All of our worship hinges on the Holy Spirit. But that oil was so sweet. It had such an odor to it. That you remember when I started this sermon on Sunday, among the miracles that I listed, I said one of those miracles was there was no flies ever found on a sacrifice on the Temple Mount. You know why? The oil was so sweet, the flies couldn't stand it. And the oil kept the flies away. Would somebody care to say amen? I think that's a good place to shout right there. Thank God the Holy Ghost will keep the flies away. And do you know when you went to the house of God, that put off such a sweet odor that there was nothing in all the world that smelled like the house of God? They would say that if a man would go to worship in the temple, that when he would come back home, if his wife wasn't able to go, when he would step inside the house, she would say something like this to him. You've been to the house of God, hadn't you? He'd say, how do you know that? Because you've got an odor on you that I smell the presence of God. Let me tell you, thank God for a sweet place that we can come into and worship God 3 times a week and say, Lord, I thank you for a place like this that we can come and you make life sweeter because of the Holy Ghost. Something else. With that oil in that candlestick, the priest had, high priest had 12 stones on his garment. The Jews teach that when the priest needed revelation, each one of those stones represented 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And when the priest needed revelation, he would ask God, and when he would stand in the holy place, as the light would flicker, they said it would cause stones to light up, and it would spell out to the priest God's revelation. You know, sometimes you don't know what you're supposed to do, and you don't know where to go, and you don't know what decision to make, and you don't know what's right, and you don't know, is that the best choice? It's not that everything's always wrong, but let's face it, some things are better than others. And you're trying to make the right decision, and you're trying to go the right way. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Ghost that illuminates us and illuminates our mind and illuminates our body? Aren't you thankful for the revelation that God gives to you, that it's not always clear cut, but sometimes you just get that feeling from the inside burning out. You need to do this, or you need to do that, or you need to go here, or you need to go there. Now's the time to pray for this person or pray for that person. How many times has God laid it on your heart to pray for someone not knowing what they're going through? And the very moment that you're
praying for them later on, you find out that was when they were going through the most difficult struggle of their life. We don't always know, but let me assure you, God always knows. And the Spirit's timing is always perfect and always right.
So we need the oil. We need the oil. May we carry the oil. And may we keep the fire. Because without that, we'll never be effective for God.